In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brethren in Christ, Christ is in our midst. In today's Gospel, you heard the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in today's calendar, we celebrate the feast of St. John Chrysostom, and on Tuesday, the Nativity Fast starts in preparation of the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. These three elements have two things in common: mercy and almsgiving. The Good Samaritan, in his mercy and charity, helped the one who fell among robbers and gave an example of selfless love. The fast of Nativity helps us to achieve mercy and philanthropy by abstaining from selfish desires and learn how to give. Third, the benevolent actions and the homilies of St. John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth, aimed at helping the poor, made him worthy to be called also the Merciful. And this is my topic today. In his great sermons, this great Antiochian preacher and homilist tries to diagnose the maladies of our souls, showing an understanding of human frailty and prescribing strong medicine to acquire these two virtues, mercy and almsgiving. As we enter into the Nativity Fast, we remember St. John's exhortation that the fast should be kept not by the mouth alone, but also by the eye, the feet, the hands, and all the members of our body. The eye must abstain from impure sights, the ear from malicious gossip, the hands from acts of injustice, and from showing unwillingness to share our possessions with others. In this fasting period, we remember also his observation that in the church he sees a custom prevailing among many that gives great attention to what we are wearing and how rich we look, but as to presenting a clean soul to God, we make no account. This is of great significance in a fasting period. St. John expressed and explained what Jesus said to the Pharisees and to the priests who considered washing of the hands and of the mouth, and not mercy, is essential to purity. First, wash with virtues and not with water only. No one is forbidding the washing of the hands or mouth, he said, but the real filth of the mouth is evil speaking, blasphemy, reviling, angry words, and filthy talking. He warned them, saying, "You labor in vain to wash your mouth externally while you are still internally carrying such dreadly and hurtful filth and showing no mercy. Thou Merciful," John hesitate not to castigate selfishness, richness, and despotism wherever he finds them. And his troparion, which you have heard, describes clearly his fiery tongue. It says, the grace shines forth from his mouth like a torch. It's a torch of light and of fire. So as we might learn through his words how we should live. When he found the church empty, because many of his parishioners went to the circus, he expressed his indignation that races were held mercilessly, even on Good Friday. He addressed them saying, when you run to the theater or to the races, you run from heaven to hell. Brethren in Christ, the life of mercy is essential to our Christian life. He scolded those who are like the priest and the Levi in the parable of the Good Samaritan, who considered worship is limited only to rituals, saying, you have been counted worthy to become temples of God, but you have instead become like sepulchres, having the same sort of smell. This is dreadful. It is extreme wretchedness that one in whom Christ dwells and in whom the Holy Spirit has worked such great works should turn out to be a sepulchre or a place of death. What wretchedness is this? What mourning and lamentation does this call for? The members of the body of Christ have become a tomb of uncleanliness. Remember what sort of garment you have received in your baptism. You were intended to be a temple without fault, beautiful, not adorned with gold or pearls, but with the Spirit that is more precious than these. However, you carry around a dead soul. You are shunned. Be honest. If anyone were to go around carrying about a dead body, wouldn't everyone else rush to cover? Wouldn't they all flee? But this is what you are like. You go about carrying a corpse far more grievous than this. It is a soul deadened by sins, a soul paralyzed. He scolded the wealthy Christian families in Antioch who owed mansions, properties, and lands, and gave great banquets. One Sunday in winter time, he went downtown Antioch. There he saw on the way a number of poor people, crippled and sick, and lying in the street. He forgot the theme of his sermon. He went up to the pulpit. He gave a brilliant sermon on almsgiving, saying, I come to you today as an ambassador, and indeed I am sent by the poor of this city, not by decrees, but through the mere sight of their misery. Let us be charitable towards our fellow man. In another occasion, he said to them, even when you see a dog hungry, you feel sympathy. But when you see the Lord hungry, you ignore it. You are left without excuse. He was an expert in portraying the need and the misery of the poor. He said, "It is foolishness and a public madness to fill your closets with clothing and allow men who are created according to the image and likeness of God to stand trembling with the cold. And you say, this poor is cheating and is only pretending to be weak and trembling. What? Do you not fear lightning from heaven will fall on you for this word? Forgive me, but I am almost burst from anger. Only see, you are large and fat. You hold parties and sleep in warm beds. Do you not think of how you must give an account of your misuse of the gifts of God?" And from Chrysostom we learn that the Church of Antioch was the only institution which established funds for the poor. But always there was an objection from his parishioners. He answered them saying, "What are you saying? If the church gives alms, is that any merit of yours? You collect your treasures on earth and lock them in the closets. The church, on the contrary, is compelled to take care for the widows, the consecrated virgins, the strangers, the travelers, the captives, the sick, and the invalids." Brethren in Christ, this great or the greatest homilist and orator of Antioch, who shook the conscience of all Christians throughout the ages, gave us this great lesson of mercy and thanksgiving, because we spend our years in the service of our body and our flesh. We keep searching for the best menu. We decorate our homes with the best and our bodies with the best fashion clothes. But our souls are neglected. We take a shower every day, but our soul is not bathed. Our love to others sometimes becomes similar to the love and selfish love of the Levi and the priest who offered sacrifices day after day, but never offered themselves to a wounded man. In reality, those who are attached to their wealth steal the riches of the poor and of the wounded by neglecting them. At the beginning of this Nativity fast, we have to prepare ourselves to learn how to give to the church, which is the body of Christ, how to give alms to the poor, whom we serve during this season, because we must give an account for ourselves. A rich man is not what has much, but one who gives much. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.